You're listening to 101.9 Chai FM.
Welcome, welcome. It's 22 minutes to 10 o'clock and it is a beautiful Friday. It's the last day of August. We're hitting the 1st of September. We are hitting spring. And I know that Bev and Mashi talk about the energy of this time of the year. You just need to walk around the garden. And if you don't have a garden, just walk around the streets and look closely at those bare branches. And if you look closely, you'll see those little buds. And those little buds are going to form into blossoms or into beautiful leaves. And it is the beginning again. That's how it feels. We've gone full circle and it's the beginning. It's a fresh start. And that's what I love about spring. It's the new. It's the fresh start. It's we're waking up after a long sleep. So I hope you are feeling and enjoying it. Are you self-esteem engineer Ms. Meloon? Hello, darling.
Hello, darling.
Oh, I love this time of the year. Everyone is smiling.
Yeah, they're delusional.
Don't listen. Do not listen to Bev. You can only listen to her as soon as she starts analyzing your numbers. By the way, start SMSing your birth date to 34519. You can also call us directly in the studio, 0861-242436. So let's get started. The 20th of August, 1965, a male.
A boy person.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Right. We need someone in here with a very quick calculator. 10 and right.
Ask okay. me. I'm brilliant.
Yes. And an oracle.
Sometimes.
Two for the price of one. All right, so this person is a super nurturer, very super nurturer. In fact, right off the bat, I'm going to say to this gentleman, because he's not old, I mean, he's what, 47? Hey? He's young.
Okay, don't ask me that
young
question.
Younger. He's almost in line for a midlife crisis, actually.
Okay, all right.
Used to be people in midlife crises at like 38 or so because they were going to die at 75. But today we're living into our, you know, 90s, exactly. 100s quite easily. So he's almost in line for a midlife crisis. So I'll tell you that if you're going to have one, here's a couple of things that might be valuable to look at. One, are you nurturing people to the point where you suffocate them? Because mm-hmm. this is such a natural, overt nurturer. One of the things he has going for him is this amazing capacity to nurture. And the other thing is this huge level of sensitivity. And there's always a paradox of that. Because when we come rushing in to save the day and nurture and give it away, you should be doing that just to save the day, give it away and nurture. There shouldn't be I need this back, I need that back. Often giving is just for giving. Mm. And we give to the giver by receiving. Mm. But you shouldn't have to give anything back. Mm-hmm. So when you send out a beautiful message or some flowers or a gift or you help someone with this or that and you have to get back, you expecting back, then you're going to be disappointed. You immediately set up this paradox in which you cannot be happy at the end of it. Mm. So as a natural nurturer, he has a tendency towards feeling like a victim. And it's very interesting with his particular geometry or whatever you want to call it here that puts him together. If you're such a natural nurturer and you're so driven and so capable and so powerful in it, and he's a powerful personality, there's not a personality lacking in the capacity to lead the way and create a following and start a cult, actually. You know, he probably had followers quite easily because he's charismatic, he's lovely, you can get along with him. This is a nice person. Mm-hmm. The catch is, are we being over nice with expectation, not feeling like all our needs are met in the process because we don't articulate it and therefore feeling like we're being taken advantage of? Because the only person who'd be taking advantage of you in this scenario is you. You take advantage of you because you take advantage of this naturally giving, beautiful, generous spirit and you put it out there without making sure you feel full enough first. Because if I feel full enough when I give to you, I don't need you to say thank you. Mm. I don't need you to rub my back back. I don't need you to help me. I don't need you to do anything. I need you to receive. And if you don't wish to receive, I was still the giver. I still did that thing. I still have completed my part of it. There's far too much trade-off going on planet Earth today. Quit trying to trade off all the time. It's not always a trade. Sometimes it's just an extension of generosity of spirit, of generosity of giving. Mm. That's all it is. You know, when I stop at, I remember hearing from a rabbi, and we're talking now 15 years ago, said keep 20 cent pieces. Back then they meant something.
Could actually buy something with 20 cents.
I don't know so much, but yeah, pretty much, right? Keep 20 cent pieces in your ashtray in the car. I've now discovered the new cars don't come with ashtrays. Have you noticed that? I don't have an ashtray in my car. So I might have tossed it to keep use the space, I guess. But
for the 20 cent pieces, maybe, which are now 2 rand coins.
Which
but
I
anyway.
Couldn't get out, you know, if they had an ashtray. How do you get them out? You know, you need one of those cuppy things.
Bugger.
It is. Mm. But he said, just keep them. Keep 20 cent pieces in your car. It's going to break you for the month to have 10 rands worth of 20 cent pieces in your car. It's 50 20 cent pieces. And at every robot give.
Listen, so I'm with you. I'm with you. But 10 rand will last you one day. Not for the month, darling.
Depends how many robots
here,
you stop at.
From here to my house. And 10 rand in 2 rand coins.
Okay, so let's say you drive that every single day and you're the average human. Is 300 rand a month going to really, and I'm like, we're pushing it now, right? Is it really going to, like, is it going to kill you? People waste that on a
movie.
For some
people it will. But anyway.
That's not my point. I said for the average human being, for the average person who drives their own car.
Okay.
This is not
Are
me
we getting stuff
disregarding.
On this point?
Yeah, because I'm in the space where I need you to hear what
okay,
I'm trying
I
to say.
I hear you. I hear you.
Yeah, but does everyone else now?
Yes. Do we? Been... Let's ask. Do you all hear, Bev?
Okay, so let me put it in a nutshell so that we know we're getting it right. What's the point of this whole, you know, superfluous conversation? Is this? If you have all those 20 cent pieces, and maybe you want to do 50 or a rand coin, great, great. And you are the person who owns the car and can afford the petrol and can afford to drive around. I'm talking about that average person.
Mm-hmm.
When you give, is it nice for someone to say thank you always? You know, is it nice? I always give it and I say, God bless, take care. And sometimes I say, God bless you. And I'm like, oh, man, thank you very much. Mm-hmm. I'm willing to fluff up my tail feathers, bless my life. I'm only too grateful, right?
Mm-hmm.
But do I give that because I want their blessing? Mm. Do I give it because I need them to validate me as a giver? No. I'm giving it because I can live without it and it might make a fraction of a difference in their life.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that can be stretched to almost any kind of giving. If you truly want to, in this time, this is a powerful time for the Jewish people, and believe me, Mashi will be in here soon and waxing lyrical about how powerful a time the month of Elul is for the Jewish people particularly, but it's not only the Jewish people. This is a powerful time for everybody because this is the time of the change of energy of the year. It's a time for renewal. That's why everyone's got this delusional happy smile. It's a new plate. It's a blank tabula rasa, as who used to say that? Carl Jung, I don't know, one of them. This is the time we can begin again, but better. Not begin again the same person with the same limitations and insecurities and drawbacks and holdbacks. This is a time we can go, hold on, okay, not the greatest year, not a terrible year. I want it to be better. What do I need to improve about me that could draw to myself a better experience? What can I use this energy? It's springtime in the southern hemisphere. It's certainly not springtime in the northern, but the energy is the same because it's a time of new beginning and we're moving into a fire energy. Mm. And I remember saying to you last year, for weeks and weeks, we're moving out of an earth into an air.
Yeah.
We are going into tornadoes and hurricanes and right over that Rosh Hashanah period where the change slips into place. There was a tornado that ripped up half of the southern part of South Africa, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. So now we're moving into fire. We're looking like, as far as the world's going to reflect that, we're looking at things with fire. But fire energy is fuel. It's passion. It's ambition. It's desire. It's change. What do people do when they want things to burn fresh, to grow, not burn fresh, to grow anew, to be blessed, to come out fresh into the world? They burn the ground. So sometimes you need a trial by fire. Sometimes you need to burn away the things that keep you from your highest potential, the things that keep you from that innate passion for life and ambition to be more and do more and give more without wanting anything back. Without, can you do that? If people just work on that their entire life and get it right, all the spin-off improvements that will happen in their life because they get that right, it's insurmountable. Can you give just to give? Can you do that? Very, very few people can give. And I'm not saying I've perfected it. I work on it all the time. Can you give just to give? And when you receive back, bonus, lovely, but not essential. Big question.
Very big question.
Yes.
Thank you. So Mail, 20 August 1965, asking big questions there. Let's move on to Brenda Katzer. The 7th of the 10th, 1945, we're going to go to a break. So Brenda, Bev will be looking at those, your birth date after the break. 7th of the 10th, 1945. Self-esteem engineer Bev Malun in the studio. You can SMS your birth date to 34519, or you can call us and we'll take your call first, 0861 24 24 36. 101.9 IFM, 101.9 megahertz of power. Thank you so much for staying with us. Nikki Seberini in your element. And I have self-esteem engineer Bev Malun in the studio. She's looking at your birth dates. Brenda Katzer, the 7th of October, 1945. And she says, insight into myself, please.
Right. Okay, Brenda. Brenda Katzer. All right. So, Brenda, sensitive, generous spirited, wants to give, doesn't like boundaries, doesn't want to be told where to go, where to sit down, how to do it, whatever, lots of direction, likes to take directions, quite spontaneous, can chop and change, let's do that, that looks good, let's try this, etc. What's the drawback? Insight into yourself. The drawback is that you're so deeply, profoundly philosophical about things and such an idealist and such a perfectionist, and you know, I don't know why we still have that in the dictionary, that and sulking.
What,
I wish someone
a perfectionist
would just, yeah, I mean, it doesn't exist. Sulking does not exist. It's just the expression of a person in immense pain who's trying to figure out how to survive it. That's sulking. And what is perfectionism? I don't know. Talk to God. He knows. We have no clue. And perfection, according to human ability, keeps changing. So, you know, some people will say one particular kind of phone is the perfect phone now. Everything, well, 5 years from now, that'll be like, really? Ha ha, that's funny. That wasn't perfect. This is. So our perspective on what is perfection and what's the finished touch and et cetera, it's so fluid. It just keeps changing. There is none. So those are two words I think should be out the dictionary. But having said that, that is certainly one of Brenda's issues. She is a person who needs things to be in a very specific way, exactly according to what she wants, and the way she directs it works, and that's it. So if you get into her space too much, she's going to withdraw. She's going to pull away. She's going to be like, you're crowding me. Don't crowd me. She needs to have a certain kind of space, even though she's a nurturer and a giver and she wants to help and etc. It's on her terms. And so the first question comes up and it says to me, are you articulating where you feel your toes are stepped on? Are you articulating where you feel you stretched or pushed or squashed or whatever it is that you feel you having done to you? Are you making certain people know where they stand in your world, where they should stand, where the boundaries are, where they should go, shouldn't go, etc.? Because only when she does not define her boundaries and people step over them, that's when it gets complex for her. Other than that, she's a driven, committed, passionate, natural nurturer, heal the world, save people, take care of people, probably oversaves people. That would be my next question. How much are we saving Brenda? How much are we saving others? And is it a ratio that is healthy? Is Brenda full? Is she giving just to give? Is she doing just to do? Is she a full human being all on her own, so that anything that comes back to her is a bonus and not essential? And I want to go one step further with that, so that people really get it, so you can start working with it in your life. People will say, you know, but what does it mean to be full? What does it mean that you shouldn't need thank you and et cetera? Let's say you're depressed, okay? You're miserable. Things are hard for you. You don't have to have lost anyone or anything, but you're miserable. People go through these cyclical things in life, and that's where you're at. You don't feel excited about life. You're dragging yourself through life, et cetera. We're faced with people who are going through that all the time. Now, if I tell you look fantastic, what, you're suddenly happy? Nonsense. I say, oh, thank you for bringing that cake. You're suddenly full? No. It might even flutter a smile, but just, you're still miserable. If I tell you look fantastic, you're great, we love having you, etc., it's just like, oh, really? You're so brilliant at doing that. No, I'm not. So, or I don't believe it. Thanks, but I don't believe it. Do you understand? If you do not feel full yourself, if you haven't done the work to work through the insecurities, the fears, the pain, the anchors that hold you back, that protect you, that keep you, keeping people at arm's length, your nastiness sometimes, your brashness sometimes, your resistance to connecting, your inauthenticity, you're not being honest in the moment. If you don't do the work on those things, you will always feel like there's a hole at the bottom of your fullness bowl, bucket or suitcase, whatever you want to call it, your hands literally are holding the water and it's just dribbling out the bottom. You have to be full of you. for someone else to come along and throw one more thing onto the top of the bowl. Just flick one more thing in there and you go, yeah, that feels good. Thanks. Mm. Yeah, thanks for noticing. Mm. Thanks for noticing what I already know is what you're saying, actually. When someone says that and it genuinely adds to your feeling of enthusiasm or excitement or whatever it is, you're saying, thanks for acknowledging what I already know to be true. It's nice for me. But would it be enough? Never. I have to know it first. And I say it to people with art all the time. When you've done an artwork, and it doesn't matter if it's a beautiful artwork or it's and that comes in a food display or clothing made or a painting, it doesn't matter, a drawing, it can be anything, a musical ensemble put together for a CD or whatever it is, right? It doesn't matter. When you're ready to present it to someone else, you already feel it's enough. Nobody goes to present it to people when they don't feel it's enough because they're still ripping it to shreds. They don't want to have someone else add to it. They won't want to even go back to it. So when I bring you in, I say, Nikki, what do you think of this? I'm already thinking great of it. I am full enough. Mm. You like it? Bonus. You don't like it? I might take in what you say and make some changes, but I'm full enough to not feel threatened by that. I'm full enough to not be broken by it. Make sense?
Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely.
We have to be enough ourselves. We have to be full ourselves. Mm-hmm. We have to do the work to take out all, to fill up all the holes that are allowing the drainage of our fullness so that we're enough ourselves. So then when you get added to it, bonus. Mm.
And it's ongoing. You don't just wake up and you've transformed into that.
No, it's perpetual.
And it's a wonderful journey.
And it's
that's
the safest journey to go through life with. Why? Because if I'm not full enough until you give me something, we now have a codependent problem. We have a problem where I don't believe I'll survive without you in my space. Mm. And that's where people in friendships, in relationships, and it doesn't matter if it's between mother and child, father and child, partners, it doesn't matter. Where I'm not enough till you say I am, we have a dangerous relationship in which I don't believe I'll survive the ending of that relationship, and I will compromise my needs to be in that relationship far more than I should just to have access to you filling me up. Do you understand?
Absolutely.
And that's where the codependence comes from, that dangerous, absolutely, unhealthy relationship which so many people we know are in, tragically.
Thanks for that, Bev, and that was for you, Brenda. For everybody, really. Let's look at the 29th of January, 1964, and this is a female, Bev. She was born on the 29th of Jan, 1964. And just a reminder, you can call us in the studio, 0861-24-24-36.
Now,
Bates.
Okay, so another nurturer. We have a theme. We have a theme. Nurturers who do not speak their own needs. So Brenda, gentleman of 1965, and this lady of 1964, same theme. Their work is to articulate their own needs, to make sure their needs are met, to fill themselves up. So they, while they're running around nurturing, they're not looking for someone else to hold them up.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a generous-spirited perfectionist with a strong capacity to lead the way and dominate people. Now, should you be? No. Because you can use that in such a positive way. You know, there's lots of autocratic leaders in our history that had the power to lead the masses, to create a following, etc. They didn't use it positively, believe me. They're all in a cyclical basis coming back in some form or another to fix things and patch things up. And, you know, people who've done the most damage, I often think, are coming back as a cobblestone in a downtown, you know, some downtown dirty place where they get stood on a lot. You know, we have to do our work. We have to do the work to elevate and refine. That's what this game's about.
Mm.
Planet Earth isn't really about slogging it out and struggling and hating life and etc. for some people, or having blissfully easy lives and everything in between. That's the point here, is to take this body that we're using this time and the electromagnetic or spiritual or Duracell battery, what power pack or soul, if people are comfortable to call it that is put into this thing that gets powered up to use in this lifetime that just doesn't seem to last longer than 100-120 years, and refine that being that comes down. Refine it. You don't believe in reincarnation? I'm totally fine with that. This must be a very miserable journey for you then. What's the point? Just for now? It's just for now? Okay, but then still do it so that you are the best for now. do it that you get the most out of this 70 to 100 or 120 years. Do it. Mm. Contribute. Improve your being. Because I've met people, I can tell you, Nikki, and with the charity work I do, I meet them all the time, and it's such a privilege, who have nothing. Nothing. They have child-headed households, a 9 or 10 year old with 4 siblings or cousins or whatever, and everyone else is dead, and they get free education, but no one takes care. And that's the only reason I meet them, is that no one takes care of their visual needs. And so the organization I'm part of, we help to do stuff there, right? But having said that, you've got these 9 and 10 year olds with 4 cousins, siblings, whatever they are, running the home. That's what they've got. Mm. They're happy. They had food yesterday. They're happy. They didn't get rained on last night. They're happy. Everyone survived the last winter. Sure. There is a way to be full on this planet without all the trappings of what society has conditioned us to believe we have to have. I've said it in my courses for the last 9 years. Oxygen, water, food, essentials. Everything else, bonus. Not necessary. Bonus. Mm. How do we know it to be true? Can't survive without oxygen for more than 4 minutes. Can't survive without water for more than 4 days. Can't survive without food for more than about 40, right? Can I survive without shelter? Yep. Can I survive without clothing? Yep. Can I survive without friendship? Sadly. Can I survive without money? Yes. Can I survive without education? Absolutely. Can I survive without DSTV? Probably. Right? Do you get anywhere I'm headed with this?
Got it.
You have to fill you up first. Mm. And if we look at Our Lady here, I'm going to say it to you loud and clear. You feel full and it'll tone down that sharp spirit she has. Because there's the paradox there for this lady of this beautiful, generous spirited, affectionate nurturer who wants to change the world and heal and save everyone. Contrasted right there with this perfectionist with a critical eye who doesn't share her disappointments and hurts and can literally level the playing field with people if they don't go her way. Fill you up first. It makes us gentler people. Much gentler.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Bev. Do we have a call on the line? Is that Brenda?
Yes,
hi, Brenda. Hello, hello. How are you, Brenda?
All right, and you?
Good, thank you. You want to give Bev your husband's date?
Yes, please. Before I do, I just want to say to Bev, are you there?
Yes, ma'am.
I just want to say to you that you are quite right. I am very much of a perfectionist.
Okay, Brenda. Is that Brenda Katzer?
Yes.
Hello, Brenda. Okay, so there's great feedback.
I don't know why we've got a ring back, an engaged signal.
I know. I think because there's another caller, but I think maybe they've dropped the line.
What is your husband's birth date?
My husband's date of birth is the 28th of July, 1939. It's gone, thank goodness.
1939?
Yes.
Anything specific?
Just to know what he's like on himself and,
Okay. Do you want to look at your relationship also?
No, I know what it's like.
So do I.
I can tell you.
All right, that's fine. Thanks, Brenda.
Thank you, Brenda.
I listen on the radio.
Super, Brenda. Thank you. Bye-bye. Okay, so Brenda's husby.
Yeah, I also know what their relationship's about. Okay, right. Moving on. So I'm going to talk about one specific area only with your husband, Brenda, because I think in relationships, this is more important than anything. I'm never willing to just take a person and say, well, here's where all these issues are. You know why? Because so what? Mm. So then what does the other partner feel? Oh, you see, I knew it. Mm. I knew it.
Yeah.
Right. So what? This isn't the role of this work is not to give people a superiority complex or delusion. It is to say, how can I better meet the needs of this person? How can I better understand the trials and challenges of this person who I care about, who I want to be involved with? When I profile people for businesses, for work, for jobs, etc., I don't say to them, okay, oh, watch out, this person. I say, okay, this person has boundary issues, so you need to give very specific targets.
Right.
Not don't hire them, this person can't be managed. No, this person has boundary issues, so you need to give them specific targets. Okay, this person has a tendency to lie, so don't put this person under pressure. Rather give them the freedom to have the room to make errors so they don't have to lie. Teach them that the accountability is fine. Mm. You're okay with that, but their lying corrupts the
Fantastic.
Process. Do you understand?
Mm, of course.
How can we better work with each other. That's the goal here. Okay. We can have a rip-up session all day. You want me to profile myself on here? My goodness, you'll run out. We all have limitations, challenges, problems, stuff we should be working on. Otherwise, we wouldn't be in the suit. Right? Right.
So Brenda's hubs.
So Brenda's hubs. So where's the compassion, Brenda? The compassion should be in the fact that in intimate space and relationships, he's very similar to you. He needs space. So he crowds your space or you crowd his space. Never a good space shall that space make. You need to have space. He needs to have space. And so men have a more natural tendency, supposedly, according to, you know, all the opinions out there, to withdraw into a cave.
Well, I agree with that. Sorry.
So do women. They just don't allow themselves. Women need a time out and a space to regroup just as much. They just don't have the fortune to have that luxury, because generally the woman makes the household. She makes the dinner. Generally. Not always, but generally, right? And so there's less scope to just disappear. I mean, how many women with new children and young children can remember what it's like to go to the toilet on their own? You know, most of them just drag them all along with. And there's, you know, what do they know from space? I've always said, and I said it in my book as well, when you have your first child, that push takes you from selfish to selfless. It's just one push that separates it, right? So one snip, one push, and you've gone from selfish to selfless.
So true.
Right. But a man can still have a natural tendency to withdraw, to say, get back off, just stay away from the beast, there's the line, etc. But you can't get away with that in relationships, because then it sounds like you don't want to engage and you don't want to be available and you're not emotional enough. And today we've turned everything upside down in so many ways, right? I don't think men always know where to stand or how to stand or what to do or to just stay on their knees. Like, what's easier? For Brenda's husband, you've got a man who's a natural nurturer, so that is a huge bonus. But he also has a quick mouth, a quick, sharp mouth. Now, there's a paradox there. He wants to nurture, but sometimes his mouth gets in the way. Do you understand? So that's not an easy thing for a person to manage. He'll tend to get into drama. Do you think he's happy there? Who's happy in drama? Unless you've asked to have a place on a stage, you're not happy in drama. It's not a comfortable place to be. It's an out-of-balance place to be. And with his need to move forward and take direction and etc., and his idealism, he has so much idealism about how the world should be and how things should be and how things can play out if the people just live the world his way. You know, that's a hard paradox to live in when you're a gentle person who has had to work on his self-esteem, and there's a big amount of self-esteem work there. And I don't know how much he has or hasn't done. If he's done enough, then he won't tend to drama as much as he would have in his younger years, and he'll have more of a grip on how to manage disappointments. But a big thing for him is disappointment. Disappointment can break him, can bury him, whereas other people go around, well, here's something we have to get around. How do we solve it? How do we move on? He might tend towards, like, how am I going to cope? This is too much for me. Why is this happening to me? It's a hard place to be. So in a nutshell, Brenda, as we wrap this up, I would say to you that it might have value for you to understand that the paradox that lies there for your husband is this huge desire for things to flow and to be beautiful and to work that is often challenged directly by a difficulty in articulating what his sensitivities are and his needs, and it comes out as criticism and drama. But there's needs there. There's unmet needs there, that somewhere he was told a story he believed. Somewhere he was told, you don't have the right to have those needs. Those needs are wrong, whatever it is. Or he grew up with critical parents. He grew up with unaffectionate or undemonstrative mother and a more demonstrative father. It would be very confusing. So there's a lot of things that go on for him that would create a paradox there for him. And so what's appropriate is even though it can be hurtful, because he can be, you know, in his self-protection, that self-protection he has, what's draining his fullness, if it's still there and it's not being worked on enough, and I'm not sure, I can get a sense that it's somewhere in between a self-awareness and a nothingness, is that he will constantly feel pulled between not feeling enough, wanting to help, and not being able to articulate his need. It's quite a paradox to be in, and we can be abrasive to protect ourselves. That's not necessarily, or we can withdraw to protect ourselves, but that's, I call it the Rapunzel theory. You know, so she was happy up there. I mean, she had a great view, but she was all alone in a cold tower. Mm. You know, people who have the Rapunzel theory work for them.
Fantastic hair.
Fantastically long hair, who withdraw up into these towers where they have a great view, but sometimes they use it to shoot you from because they feel safe, or they use it to hide in, or they use it to withdraw from. But no one wants to be up there alone in the tower for long. They want you to come and rescue them. Mm. Rapunzel wanted to be rescued. You know, even in Tangled, she had an existential crisis of note touching the ground. But, you know, she felt somewhere between terrible for betraying her captive non-mother and freeing herself to actually have a life. But, you know, in all of that, she also wanted to be rescued. Mm. Now, my theory is complex on that. It's you know, I think I'm coming to the title of the next book, Self-Esteem, Your Self-Esteem. You know, do it yourself. Stop trying to outsource it. Mm. It's not this one's fault that you're sad. It's not that one's fault that you're...
Stop
trying to outsource your lack of self-esteem. You go and fix the holes. You go and make certain that you can be full enough to live your life with more self-esteem and make healthier choices so you feel better.